Today on a spine-chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a woman grows up having paranormal experiences in and around the place she called home. Upon becoming an adult, moving out and starting a family, she quickly discovers that the spirits who tormented her through all of childhood, they have never left and are now on a mission to instill the same fear she once felt on her own children. That story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all that good stuff. All commercial free. Keeps us on the air. Do that over at patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. You can click the link there, go over to Patreon, or just do it right on the website and get access to all of that stuff. We greatly appreciate it. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. I'm kind of excited and a wee bit nervous, but I am officiating my first wedding in a couple of days.
Yeah, you are.
For my nephew.
Yeah.
Yes. So if somebody needs a wedding officiant soon, I will have that on my resume.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited about it.
You may want to regret saying that line on the air, but okay. Because you're going to get a lot of people asking you to marry them now.
I'm qualified. I have this certificate that I'm a member of the clergy.
Mm-hmm.
Although after I got, like, I went like the Universalist Church or whatever that one is. It's like $40. I became a... But then I'm talking to one of my friends and he says, so where did you get your whatever credentials? For lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And so I told him, and he's like, he got his. It's like the Church of Dudism, like the Big Lebowski. And so he got his from, it's like the Church of the Dude, but it's called Dudism, which is really funny. I'm like, well, shit, like how much did that cost? Because if mine were 40, that had to have been like $100. And he said, free. I could have gotten certified or whatever
from the Church of Dudism,
clergyified.
Yeah.
Damn.
Although something like that went to be a little bit like some that somewhere down the lines it's going to be like looked at as no, this is not a legitimate whatever it has to be for someone to officiate a wedding, and then it's going to be looked at as like, well, all these marriages are now technically invalid
because you did not pay the $40.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know,
because like I didn't have to take a quiz. All I had to do was give him money.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
I got the packet in the mail.
Although, does it really, I mean, I don't think it would invalidate anything because you have to actually go to the courthouse and legally do it, get married by law.
The wedding itself isn't a religious service. The wedding is more like in...
It's a legal contract. It is a legal contract. It's a legal contract is what it is.
Yeah.
But no, so there's two variations of wedding. It's the legal contract version. And then there's the other one where it is the religious aspect or the ceremonial aspect of it. And that can be pretty much anything. And I guess then that goes into the belief system of, well, what do you believe? And, you know, if you get married by a Catholic priest and it turns out that that priest was never really a priest, are you married in God's eyes? Or is it, you know, yes, the intent was there.
Yeah, that's
or,
a factor.
Yeah.
Like for these guys.
But not it's not legally, though. If it turned out like the priest that married somebody is no longer, or the clergy that married somebody really wasn't certified the way they were supposed to be, doesn't really matter because the legal aspect of it is what matters.
Now, maybe you want to do it over for religious purposes.
Uh-huh. And that's, it's personal.
But I was telling my nephew, I said, I'm going to go full on Moira Rose. I don't know if you remember what she wore in the last episode of Schitt's Creek when David got married, but I'm like, I am wearing that outfit.
Wow.
It's a little over the top. And my nephew's like, that'd be awesome. And his fiance is like, no, it wouldn't. But I am borrowing a Pope hat just to show up at the rehearsal part.
Mm-hmm.
What, just to freak him out. So they think And I'm just going to be like, hey, just want to make sure I can walk in this. I think it'd be fun. But it's weird to write, because I didn't want to use a script that was already out there. I wanted to write something for them. Mm-hmm. And that was really harder to do than what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to use the, I remember changing your diapers and look at you get me. I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote them a script and I wanted a little humor in it. So in the kind of love reading that, you know, love can be patient, kind, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. in this ceremony they do something like that. We're doing Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
That's very romantic.
Yeah, thanks.
Yes.
And they went for it.
I like it. At least it's not Cry for Help, because that would be kind of bizarre at a wedding.
Yeah, maybe.
Somebody hear the cry for help. I do that at karaoke sometimes. It's great fun. Wow. Well, that'll be exciting.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, you should. You should do that. And then you can start
on the side.
Yeah, doing that on the side. And people can fly you round trip to wherever they want to get married. And then you have a fee and you have a rider. And it's like, oh my God, Carol uses me. She requests 17,
I don't want to drink Bud Light.
17 bottles of Evian, only green Skittles, and a puppy at every single one.
Every single one.
Yep.
That will be adopted by a responsible family the moment I leave.
Someone needs to adopt the puppy before you'll actually do the ceremony.
Exactly. Like, ideally, the couple.
Yes. That should be, There you go. New business ideas right there. 855.
I just give them the puppy. I get the puppy. I give them the puppy for their wedding gift. I like that.
You make a threat with it at some point. Like, if you don't adopt this puppy after saying I do, your marriage is doomed to fail. And so will you take the puppy? I will. Okay, great. Everything's going to be wonderful. Now we can proceed. So curse
it. And then I'll be like, do you promise to feed, walk, and love this puppy? I do.
Okay.
So they say vows to the puppy.
To the puppy. Yes. To vow to the puppy. Yes.
I like that.
And then the rule is you only have to stay in the relationship as long as the puppy is alive. So when the puppy's dead.
My hope is, fingers crossed, they would adopt another puppy.
Exactly. Then it's like re-upping the vows with a new puppy every time. So that's how you get people like on a subscription loop with you. It's like, okay, so I'll be back in approximately 8 to 14 years for the next wedding or the next the renewal of vows, and there'll be another puppy involved. And that's how it just keeps going.
I love that idea. It's like a whole new side hustle for me. This is awesome.
And you could do it like Uber, too, where people literally go to the app, and then they're like, I want to get married and get a puppy right now. And then you just show up and... Sometimes you have a Chick-fil-A with you as well.
And I'm like, no, I won't bring a Chick-fil-A. I'm vegetarian.
That's true. Yeah.
But I'll be like, if it's within driving distance, I'll get to you like within 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if I got to fly, then there's, flights and all that bullshit. Yep.
There you go. Future business right there. Get the vehicle all decked out too.
Have
a wrap. All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi, let's hear your ghost story. Come on, let's hear your ghost story. Take two. Okay, great.
Hey, Tony. My name's Caleb Kelsey. I am from Tennessee. The story is actually going to come out of the prison system for the state of Tennessee. I'm a corrections officer and have been for about past month. But in the last month, this specific prison... back in the day, there was a huge riot. A couple people died. And a couple of wardens have died. Back in 2017, there was a huge, a hostage situation where three officers were stabbed. But my story comes from, working in the jail. Specifically, unit 3, where the riot started back in the late 80s, early 90s. If you're working at night, you don't want to be there alone. You will hear footsteps and voices shouting, and quite possibly even see people walking, inmates and officers walking around. We have an officer who was attacked by said spirits recently, as in the last week or so. I'm not really sure about the whole situation with all of it, because the biggest experience I've had has been, you know, voices in this particular pod, footsteps when no one else is there, when all your inmates are locked away for the evening. But I've got a bunch of stories from outside the prison system, some that belong to my mom. My mom is very sensitive, has been my whole life, and my memories of the paranormal have been for as long as I can remember. Even dating back to a story about a road in Alabama that goes through a battle, Civil War, that we drove through one night, and it was lined with soldiers with glowing eyes. So I'll probably get another call in. It's the first time I've done this. I've been listening to the show for a couple weeks, and hope to hear you be able to tell this or listen to this and see what you think about the prison riot ghosts. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, that kind of story you just threw in about the battlefield and the ghosts and the eyes, I was like, he just kind of threw that in like that mm-hmm. wasn't as big a deal. But maybe when he calls back, he'll share that one, because I was like, what? And I wanted a little bit more of that. But I think, number one, I think being a corrections officer in a prison would have to be one of the hardest jobs there is. And I think they're very underpaid, because that would be a really tough job. But imagine, because I would think a prison would have such weird energy in it anyway.
Yeah.
Constantly. And then when there's a riot, chances are the riot was caused because things bubbled over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know. But I would just think, you know, people died in a situation like that. How could it not be haunted?
Exactly.
How could you not pick up on that and hear voices and stuff?
Well, I think it doesn't even require people being dead or anything. It's just the energy alone that either will attract things or is manifesting things of its own from the people who are there currently. I mean, another thing I you got to wonder about, too, with we're talking about the idea of people haunting people. We've had stories where people have been dreaming and they show up in some other atmosphere someplace, and then others like, hey, I saw you there the other day. And you're like, I wasn't, but I was dreaming that I was there. You got to wonder how much of that is also an aspect of the prison system and those buildings of the people's loved ones who are without them now and they're locked away. How much of that type of energy, that longing for someone who can't be with you anymore, is also being directed at a location like that.
Never really thought about it like that, but that makes sense.
Yeah. It's just everything. It's coming from everywhere. You
know, a lot of prisons aren't like brand new, nice prisons. Like there's one in Iowa, Fort Madison, Iowa. That thing is old.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine it has heat in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks that old. It looks like before heat was a thing. And I mean, you just think about all the people who have come in and out of there, and just that angst and the anger and the sadness and the stress, like every day the energy in there would be intense.
Without a doubt.
And you're talking like 100 years of that or more.
Yeah.
Like that's just, I don't know, hard enough to work there. But then when you have to deal with stuff like that, that would be really difficult.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. They're, yeah, just the amount of energy like that. Let's go to another letter. It says, hi, Tony, Carol, Harper. I've been an EPP. Okay, come on, Word. Let's move. There we go. I've been an EPP for maybe a year now. Love the show and go to sleep quite often to your shows. I know, weird, right? Not really. Anyway, I've always been sensitive to the paranormal, but never really explored experiences past the point of the initial contact. Remember being maybe seven, seeing this bright light that looked like a woman in the mirror. We stayed at my grandmother's old house where she died of cancer when I was six for many years afterwards. One night, my mom had me go into her room, which was my grandmother's old room, to get something and see if this bright, bluish-looking light, which looked like a woman, scared me so bad I ran out of the room. I now believe it was my grandmother. Another experience I had in that house was with the basement. I always had issues going into the basement or even walking past the door when it was open. It always felt dark and cold, like someone was watching me. When I had to go down there, I would shoot back up the stairs, slam the door, as if something was chasing me. There was another door downstairs that led to another storage area, which, where I believe, whatever it was, lived. As I got old and started having kids, I experienced multitudes of other things. My two kids and I were living in a one-bedroom apartment at the time where the bathroom was connected to the bedroom. My kids' bunk beds were facing the bathroom, and my son started saying, "There was a man with knives for hands." Of course, I started thinking he was talking about Freddy since he was about four. Then, I started hearing scratching at night. It grew louder and louder, and I became wearier of the bathroom. My heart would beat so fast, and it'd go to the point I couldn't sleep at night. Started leaving the bedroom light on all night and reading the Bible, begging for it to go away. Eventually, we moved and left whatever it was, stayed there. After that, one of my nieces and I experienced two things at the same time, so I knew I wasn't crazy. My daughter was three at the time. She was laying in the bed, asleep between my niece and me. We both happened to look down at the same time at her and saw for a split second her eyes were black. We jumped so hard that we both were at the end of the bed. She stayed asleep for the rest of the night, but we sure did not want to sleep next to her. Second experience, less than a year later, was when we were driving back from Tennessee. My niece was in the front seat. She was 15, by the way. It was a little foggy and barely anyone was on the road at the time. And all of a sudden, we looked and saw a shadow figure of a man in the middle of the highway. I thought I was going to hit him, so I slammed on my brakes. Then he was gone. I looked at my niece like, "Did you see that?" She was scared and looking around for the man, too. My other niece in the back had no clue what was going on and thought we were crazy because there was no one there. At that point, I sped up and we just wanted to get home. Since then, I just feel a presence here and there. Thanks for letting me tell my stories. Hope you all have a happy new year and hope to hear this on the podcast. Thoughts on that?
So was it her daughter that was sleeping in between them and her eyes were black?
I believe so. It was one of the two's daughters that were there. That would be horrifying.
Which would be horrifying. And like, why? That would really bother me.
Yeah.
More than just like, oh shit, scared me to death. I'd be like, the next day, I'd be constantly looking for signs of my child being possessed by a demon.
Yeah.
Because it's just, that's the last thing you'd want to see in your own child.
It is. It's really weird when they do it.
You would know.
It happens all the time. She does white eyes.
That's even creepier.
She throws her eyeballs up in her head, and you can't see the pupils or the retinas. It's just white, and she can do it really good, and it freaks people out. We'll, like, be in the middle of Walmart, just walking down, like, the chip aisle, and so everyone looks at her because of her red hair, and she gets 50 comments every time we go into a store.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, you have the most beautiful... But when she doesn't want to talk to people, she looks at them with white eyes. So sometimes I hear this because I'm like looking at something like, "Oh, you have the most."
Oh,
okay.
Gotta go.
And it's like, what's wrong with that child?
her possession.
Possession. She's a possessed little redhead.
It's not contagious. Your kid won't get it.
She's just possessed. It's no big deal.
But that would concern me if I woke up like my niece and I both saw, like,
oh, yeah,
that.
Yeah. I think I'd see, like,
you know, if they're both sensitive, I could see how they would both see something and the other one in the back seat doesn't see anything.
Completely.
You know, I don't think that's unusual. But I do think it's kind of unusual to see the same thing at the same time like that.
I think it makes it more of a valid thing and not just like a moment where your eyes, you know, deceived you if both people are seeing it simultaneously. But I mean, does the child have anything to do with it other than that's like the vessel that's what you were both shown? Or, I don't know, is the child, is there anything going on with the kid, or is it just happened to be that that's what you guys saw because it was trying to scare you?
My guess is that it was just that one time where she would have said something about, and then when she levitated and her head turned around and she vomited, you know, I think there would have been more.
At times she floated up to the second story window and invited us to go and visit the vampires. That was...
And I was like, Reagan, we're not visiting vampires today.
Not today. That's a freaky scene. 855-853-4802. That's our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to another caller and hear a story. Loading it up. And hi.
Hi, this is Laura. I'm calling from Idaho. I have three stories that I think are pretty interesting. The first one happened to me in 1991. I was a Mormon missionary, actually, in Puerto Rico. And my companion and I lived in a small home in the country, and we had two twin beds, and really the only furniture we had other than that was a small table and two little chairs kind of out in our sitting room. That's basically about it. And one night in the summer of 91, we were both awakened by the sound of one of those little chairs out in the little sitting room being dragged across the floor, like at length, like probably a 15-second drag, and then picked up and dropped. At this point, we had both awakened, and it happened a second time. It got dragged for several seconds and picked up and dropped. We were in another room, so we didn't see it. We just could tell what it was. And so she said, she called my name and said, "Do you hear that?" And I said, "Yes, what is going on?" And she said, "I don't know." And then it happened a third time. A chair was, you could just tell what it was. It was a chair being dragged by something and picked up and dropped. At this point, I summoned some courage and I went out and looked out in the doorway at the table and chairs and saw nothing unusual. Our windows were shut and locked. Our door was shut and locked, and our little place was so small that we would have heard anything coming or going. So I had thought, well, maybe it was a snake, but what snake can pick up a chair and drop it? I just really felt like it was some entity or spirit there that wanted us to know that it was there. It was a little disconcerting. My mother died 8 years ago of cancer, and the second story happened about 6 months before she died. She had been diagnosed 18 months from the time she got diagnosed and died. It was 18 months, and it was about 6 months before she died. I was in my bed at my home here trying to get to sleep. The kids were in their rooms. They'd been in bed a couple hours, and my husband was gone on a business trip. And so all of a sudden, as I was drifting off, I heard the sound of human snoring in my bedroom. And it was like, I could tell it was in the back right corner of the ceiling. And, you know, my eyes were as big as saucers. I was like, what is going on? That's human snoring. And then the strange thing was that the sound traveled around my bedroom. It traveled to another corner and then another corner and then another place. And then that stopped. And then it was sound of like crochet needles clicking. Instead of the snoring, it was clicking of needles. And I knew right away what that sound was because my mother, who was dying of cancer at the time, she was both a snorer and she was always crocheting baby hats and blankets and things. And I recognized the clicking as needles. That stopped, and then the human snoring started again and went on for some time. I would say at least 30 seconds of that to a minute. and then the knitting needles or the crochet needles started clicking again. And I've never had anything like that happen before or since. That was probably in 2007. I've been so curious as to what that was. Both of those sounds reminded me of my mom, yet she was still here on Earth with us. The third thing happened about 5 years ago, and I was recovering from pretty major surgery. My family, I was doing fine. I just needed to rest at this point. My family went off for a couple days to see some relatives, and I was home watching movies, and one of the movies I watched was The Conjuring 2. I just thought, oh, I was kind of in a mood. This sounds fun. Anyway, it, you know, freaked me out a little bit, but when it was over, I got in bed, and for two solid nights after watching The Conjuring, I heard what sounded like huge boxes being dragged back and forth above my ceiling, which would have been the attic. It went on all night long for hours for two nights. And it was just, there were knocking. I could hear knockings in threes, like knock, 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 which scared me because in The Conjuring, they talk about how that's the mockery of the Trinity. It was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. We have a big tree outside our bedroom window, and I made sure to go out and check the next day. The branches had been trimmed back to where it was not them scraping across the roof. There was just nothing there. When my family got home, I asked my teenage son to go up and look in the attic with me. And of course, there was nothing there but insulation. There were no boxes. It literally sounded like huge boxes being dragged back and forth and back and forth above my head and knocking in the ceiling and walls. And so that was really scary. And then it stopped. Anyway, those are my three experiences. I feel like I hear things. I've never seen anything. But I just feel like sometimes I pick up on things that are audible. So anyway, those are my experiences. They've taught me that there's something bigger going on, definitely, especially the one in 91. I thought, oh, okay, there are things that we can't, you know, experience in the five senses kind of way, but this is just there's something bigger going on, and I think it's very interesting. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really curious, and I love hearing other people's stories because it makes me feel like I'm not alone and these things are real. All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
You are not alone. I am here with you.
You're kind of scared the crap out of me when he starts singing.
I am here to stay. You are not alone. Anyway, Michael Jackson, everyone.
That was really impressive.
Thank you. Yeah.
That was interesting. Three very different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like when she said the snoring and the crochet hooks, like knitting will make that sound. Mm-hmm. Like crochet is just like one tool that you use, but it's a very, very distinct sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that sound reminds me of my grandma.
Yep.
So when she said that, I was like, that reminds me of my grandmother. And now that's weird. Like if her mom, you know, crocheted or knitted and snored, but she's still alive.
Yeah.
Could that be her mom? Or was it a point maybe where her mom was kind of, you know, it sounded like she was months away from passing.
Mm-hmm. And just maybe, kind of her own energy getting out there and.
I don't know. Or could it have been another grandmother or something?
The grandmother you never know you had.
I don't know.
Until today.
And then that last story is the exact reason why I don't watch movies like that.
I was going to bring that up.
Because that is exactly what I think would happen to me.
Yeah.
And the thing is even if that doesn't exactly happen to me, I will have the most intensely horrible dreams.
Yeah.
That then you wake up in the middle of the night scared to death and you're like, I'm going to hear something. Something's watching me. Something. And I can't shut my brain off. So like the fact that she's recovering from surgery and everybody leaves her and she's like, I think I'll cuddle up here and watch The Conjuring. I was like, bad idea.
I don't know. I believe that sort of thing can happen, but I don't think that it's the movie that necessarily brought it in. Maybe that's the thing that stirred something up. in one's home, but I don't think it's like the movie itself that, you know, like you watch the DVD and it unleashed something, if you will.
It, for me, like I just, it'll be more of a dream.
Yeah.
But for her, it sounded like she really heard stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm kind of with you. I don't think the movie can cause that. The movie can cause the horrible dreams that I have.
Sure.
Absolutely. But in her case, I think that was different. But she's also sensitive to things.
Yeah. I think it's go ahead.
I just think it's weird that the like things around her would be like, well, she just watched that movie. Let's stir some shit up.
I think it's playing on fear. It's playing on fear. If that's what you're fearful of at that moment, then that's, if there's something there that wants to do that, then it's going to play on that fear of from that developed from that movie.
And maybe when the family gets home, you know, and then she's calmer and more peaceful and.
Or she's crazy and shaking and screaming and talking to the dog like it's Ethel Merman. And she's
like, Mom.
She's convinced that it's like a different decade. Yeah. So that's why you don't leave people, you know, unattended to for a while after surgery, because demons and, you know, ending up thinking that your dog is Ethel Merman. It happens. And it's something we need to have a conversation about.
Like, and we'll get someone to mediate the conversation.
Yes, we need to mediate the conversation. And after that, we'll have a TED talk about it after that. And then we'll turn it into a movement and an awareness campaign.
So everyone, and a movie.
And a movie. Yes. And it'd be like one of those multi-part movies where it's on like for 7 episodes, but really they could have certainly gotten it done in like an hour and a half. But, you know.
But they're making money. And then if you're making some money off of it, then even better.
Exactly. So that's what you have to look forward to this summer, everyone. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, be sure to check out our Patreon page or our other website, ghostpodcast.com. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Get access to all the bonus episodes, the content, all the commercial free. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.